We're talking to John Anderson, Head of Group Client Solutions at Alexander Forbes. Good morning, John.
Morning, Karen.
So we're going to be talking about retirement and how does one retire comfortably or retire well. Perhaps we can just spend a minute talking about that. What does it actually mean to retire comfortably? Does it mean enjoying the same standard of living that you had when you were working?
Yeah, it's actually a good question, and we're faced with it quite often. You know, a lot of our clients ask, what is a good retirement? And often if you look on Google and you look up a good retirement, you see pictures of, you know, someone on a yacht touring the world, doing various things, playing golf.
Right.
The reality is, I mean, it's not really that. It's really about having an income and a sustainable income to maintain your standard of living. And I think that's quite personal to each individual. And it depends on how much you were earning before you retired, and to maintain that after retirement. And I think that's the main thing. It's a stream of income to maintain your standard of living. And if you have other goals, you can factor that in. But as a standard, I think that's what we're really looking for.
All right. So in your experience at Alexander Forbes, what are some of the main challenges that you've seen with people approaching retirement age?
Yeah, I think the main one is having saved enough. And I think that's really a big lesson for a lot of people is, you know, a lot of people that we speak to wish they had saved more and saved sooner. It doesn't mean that, you know, there aren't things that one could do, but if they were to redo things, they probably would advise younger individuals to start saving more as soon as they can and for a longer period, as well as when they change jobs to preserve those savings, because often when people leave, they encash their money. The other challenge that we do see people is, you know, a lot of them, they were very important in their work with their colleagues doing functions, and it's the transition into retirement and making sure that they have something to do after. We're seeing a lot more people still getting involved in some form of work after, and our advice is to start being proactive about what is your second career or what are you going to be doing after. I think the days of, you know, really a person stopping work completely are really over. Keeping your mind active is very important, getting involved in a different capacity, but you need to prepare for that well in advance of the day that you retire so that you're not caught off guard.
Right. So, I mean, again, if you look at Google, there's a lot of free advice there on how to save. And of course, the best advice you could probably give is start saving early. But I'm going to ask you that question because in your experience, what was the best advice you ever received on the subject of saving?
Yeah. Now, for me, the best advice was, start, even if it is with a small amount, whatever you can, and every year that you get a promotion, salary increase, or progression, first have a look at how much you put away for yourself for the future before spending it all. And I think that the reality is that you need to be consistent with it, and every year, you know, do it day in and day out. It takes 40 years really to accumulate a sufficient amount for that income. So that to me was the absolute best advice I got.
It's quite an interesting exercise to sit there and use these Google calculators that you can get online where you plug in a certain sum of money or a certain amount of savings per month and you just see how that thing grows. And you can do all of these what-if exercises. You know, if I increase my savings to $2,000 a month, what will it end up at over 30 years?
Yes. The important thing, though, there is, I think you just need to have a look at what the calculators are giving you. I think some calculators give you a rand amount in 40 years' time, and it looks like this huge amount of money. The reality is that, you know, inflation eats away at your living standard over time. You really do need to look at an amount that is what is an income at retirement, and you need to compare that relative to today's money terms. If you're using a calculator like this, and they, as long as they're reasonable assumptions, well thought through, then I think those are good tools to use. But as a rule of thumb, I think, you know, our numbers are showing that, you know, you need to actually, from as early as age 25, if you can, start aiming for about anywhere from 15 to 20% of your salary. And if you're not able to, find it there as soon as possible. And you need to do so consistently over a 35 to 40-year period for that reasonable retirement.
Right. So if somebody can't put away 15 to 20% of their monthly salary, What they can, of course, do is when they get a bonus or a 13th check or a bonanza or some kind or another, they can put that into their savings and then try and catch up that way.
No, that's right, because we also advise a lot of employers. And employers that start up, they're not able to, you know, provide full benefits for their staff. They start off with a minimum contribution rate. It can be as low as 5%. But at least start, and then you can every year gradually get up. And before you know it, you're at, you know, the 15%+. And then when, as you say, when you get the bonus, other things, you know, you can use some of it for a holiday, for day-to-day things, but always take a portion of it for the future and use those opportunities as they come along.
And I think it's also a question of breaking habits, isn't it? Because when the 13th check comes along, it's usually around Christmas time. There's some extra expenses there. So it really is a question of how do you get people to break that habit of spending these unexpected amounts of money that come in?
Yeah, the most powerful thing is, you know, if you can commit to a savings amount and then gradually increase it every year, commit to it up front, and then it does so automatically. That's the most powerful way. And then I think, yeah, unfortunately, it is a habit. It's just like if you're wanting to lose weight, for example. The only way to do it is have a healthy diet, but you need to stick to it every single day. It's hard, but it has great rewards at the end of the day if you do stick to it.
All right, let me ask you this question. I've asked you what was the best financial advice you got. The answer that you gave was to start saving early, which, of course, is that makes sense. But what was the worst advice that you've ever received or heard?
I've came across someone who said, you know, don't worry about saving now. First, pay off your bond, pay off this, do that. By the time you get to, you know, age 45, 50, you've got your debts will be paid off. At that stage, you can then really save a lot more and catch up. And you can save a big portion of your salary. Now, initially, that sounds like good advice because, you know, I agree, you know, you need to pay off debts, you need to do various things. The problem with that advice is, as people, we like to defer things anyway. Saving is actually, as you say, it's a habit. You need to get into it from as early an age as possible. By deferring it, you don't get the benefit of compound interest. You don't get the mindset of saving. So what initially appeared to be, oh, that's okay, absolutely do not defer. So even if you save a little bit because you want to pay off debt now, but pay off debt, but also keep in the background, start saving a little bit so that over time you can increase that. So the worst advice is to put it off because you'll make it up later. That is probably the absolute worst because you'll never do that, as we've seen in practice.
All right. I mean, that's quite interesting advice, and I haven't heard that before. So even if you have debt, continue to save no matter how small because you are going to develop the culture of saving or the habit of saving, and that will just grow.
Exactly, because by saving, what happens is you also then start getting in touch with the markets, look at what's happening around. It generates better behavior, and because of that, you can then understand how important it is to reduce your debt further, save more, you get interested in the economy. It has a lot of other benefits to it, but you have to do so, even if it is a small amount, as soon as possible.
Okay, so tell me, what is the role of the financial planner in all of this? Do you need a financial planner or a financial advisor in order to help you to plan out your path towards retirement? And what should one expect in terms of advice and service from that financial planner?
So, yes, you know, if you're playing soccer or rugby or any other sport, you need a good coach to keep you going. What is the latest techniques, you know, how to do various things and to improve over time? There are some people that maybe could do it themselves, but what we have seen in practice is that most people, and even very financially sophisticated people, do need a coach to help them to, because it's someone that's independent, that can, you know, bring a bit of perspective to the discussion. So there's a very important role of the advisor to keep you on track, keep you motivated, keep you in that habit. But more importantly, there's all the expertise that comes with it and to what is the right amount to save? Are you on track? What savings vehicles you need to use? How to invest it appropriately for the different goals that you have? So I think it's absolutely critical, but it's important that, you know, when you're engaging with an advisor, you make sure that this is someone who's credible, who's knowledgeable, but also someone that you will get along with that can help you. And you need to really shop around to see that there's a good fit. And then you also need to make sure that from a fee point of view, that the fee you're being charged is fair relative to the service that you're getting. I would recommend you can go onto the FPI website. It's the Financial Planning Institute. Mm-hmm. And just have a look at people that are accredited for giving financial advice. There's a professional qualification, and make sure that the person is appropriately qualified for that. And you can also check on the old Financial Services Board, which is called the FSCA now.
It stands for Financial Services Conduct Authority.
Conduct Authority, that's correct. Right. They actually have a register that you can verify that advisors are appropriately qualified and registered to give that advice.
All right. So basically, you're looking for somebody, first of all, who's knowledgeable, but also there must be some chemistry, and you've got to feel that you get on with this person and the advice that you're getting is sound.
Yes. And what we have seen is we administer just over 1 million members in our pension funds, and we've recently conducted our member watch analysis that has a look at the trends in savings behavior and the ultimate outcomes. And what we have found is the minute you introduce an advisor, the amount of savings and goes up, the amount of pensions that people are securing goes up, and then the amount that people save goes up. So that just illustrates the benefit of having an advisor.
That's interesting.
There are people, though, that can do it themselves, but they're probably few and far between. But I think the overall statistics definitely show there's a strong correlation between having a good advisor and having a good retirement. And that also international research shows it, but it's the first time in South Africa we've been able to demonstrate that.
Right. I mean, that's almost like working by yourself or working with a group. You know, when you have a boss looking over your shoulder, you get more likely to work hard. And it's the same if you've got a financial advisor looking over your shoulder, you're going to save more. That would make sense.
Yeah, it keeps you on track,
Right, okay. So let's talk a little bit about the retirement industry products. For a lot of people are quite complicated to understand because they've all got different tax implications and they all have different structures. So you've got tax-free savings accounts now. You've got retirement annuities. You've got pension and provident funds. Would it be correct to say it's better to develop a savings habit first and then start worrying about which products to choose?
Yeah, I definitely subscribe to, developing the savings habit first. The good news, though, is that the vast majority of working South Africans, your employer actually would have, most employers have an arrangement already in place through the workplace. And it's either typically a pension or a provident, but you don't have to worry about whether it's one or the other. The point is there's typically a retirement savings vehicle already available. And I would say use this because they've already done all the thinking, making sure the fees are appropriate. And that's the easiest way once you to get into that habit. If your employer doesn't have something like that, it's not that complex. Starting off with these days, it's very easily available. Retirement annuities are the best. And you can easily look at the websites of various providers to easily help you with that, as well as an accredited advisor. We can help you between those various options. But my first port of call will always be, look at what your employer's got, speak to your human resources, and you should find in the majority of cases there's something easily available there. Start there.
You're right. And, of course, for people who are self-employed who may not have a pension or a provident fund, you've got retirement annuities, and there's a wide selection to choose from there. And you've got tax-free savings accounts, and you've got various other products that you can save into.
That's right. That's right.
Right. Final question. What advice would you give to people who have 15 or 20 years to go to retirement and have no savings whatsoever? Is there hope? Is it too late?
No, it's never too late. So the first thing what you need to do is just like you need to recognize that you need to start today. And even if it is, again, a small amount, and there's other levers that you can play. If you've started late in life to save, the reality is you just need to, over time, catch up. So start now. But there are other things you can do. It just means that you're going to have to retire maybe a little bit later than you would have planned. That's not necessarily a bad thing because you need to keep your mind active anyway and need to supplement your retirement income with some kind of work. You'll just need to do that for a bit longer. The alternative is to reduce your living standards, but that's unfortunately not easily done. But start planning now and seeing what you can do. There's a lot you can do over 20 years. To improve the whole situation, but you need to start doing something about it today.
All right. We've been speaking to John Anderson, Head of Group Client Solutions at Alexander Forbes. Thanks very much, John.